Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to the very first Young Stock podcast, the podcast by young journalists for young readers and listeners from the Irish Farmers Journal, supported by Mocra. I'm Siobhan Walsh, the Farm Sustainability Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal, and I'm your host for the week. If you're a young farmer, a young person in rural Ireland, you're working in agriculture, or you just want to hear more about rural life, this is the place for you. Over the coming weeks, we're going to have plenty of our young journalists contributing to this podcast. We'll have the latest prices, get your opinions, hear some sustainability facts to keep at hand for your Saturday night out, and of course, we'll have the big interview. This week, Peter McCann talks to a young beef and sheep farmer, Zach Elkin, and Peter managed to get in the weekly quickfire question round. First up, though, we have Martin Merrick. Martin is our buildings labour efficiency reporter, and you'll often see Martin at shows in the marts as well. And he's here with his weekly slot, Martin's Markets. So, Martin, let's see where beef and grain prices are at.
Hi, Siobhan. Welcome to Martin's Markets. I will be giving an overview of the beef, lamb, milk and grain prices for the week. Well, with beef prices this week, we're seeing factories trying to pull down quotes between 10 and 20 cent kilo compared to last week, and really trying to pull down the base price down to the 5 euro kilo for your R grade and bullocks and heifers at the minute. Similar with the young bulls, last week we were looking at prices of 5.10 to 5.30 and they're trying to pull them down 10 to 20 cent kilo. With the cull cows, they were trading at 4.60 to 5.10 last week, again trying to pull them down between 10 and 20 cent kilo. Despite the downward pressure on the factory prices, milk trade is still strong, especially for the short keep cattle and good quality flesh and cull cows. In Rosscrea last week, Friday the 24th, we saw an 830 kg Belgian Blue cow selling for 4,000. On the sheep front, factories are reluctant to pass the 790 euro a kg mark, with quotes between 770 and 790. Farmers are holding off, so it's unlikely prices will be reduced back further. The Eid al-Adha festival is coming up on the 9th of July, so downward pressure should remain strong. Prices are up a euro a kg compared to this time last year. Cull ewes are trading between 4 and 4.40 a kg, and the remaining hoggets, whatever is left in the country, there'd be very few now at this time of the year, they're trading between 6.50 and 7 euro a kg. Store lamb trades remain sticky. Some regular customers are holding off and buying due to concentrate prices, while some farmers that would traditionally buy store cattle are switching to buying lambs instead because of the price of the cattle at the minute. As regards milk prices has remained strong for May. The Kerry May milk price was 48.8 cent a litre. Glanbia was 49.6 cent a litre with bonuses of 3 to 5 cent. And Lakeland Dairies was 49.4 cent a litre. Across Europe, demand is high and we should see June price increase on the May milk check price. As regards milk checks, there was one milk check I saw at the weekend there, price of 62 cent a litre, and that farmer was in the top 50 in the Arrivo catchment area. Finally, on grain prices, the Matif wheat price closed at 350.25 cent a ton on Friday the 24th of June, and last week Glanbia were offering green harvest prices of 310 a ton for wheat. All prices quoted are correct as of Monday morning, 27th of June 2022. That's all from me, Siobhan. Tune in next week for more further updates on Macro Reports.
Thanks very much, Martin. Now, for this week's big interview, Peter met up with Zach Elkin at the Balmoral Show, and that age-old debate came up. Is it a sprong or a fork? But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
Looking for somewhere to talk about all things farming? Then make sure to join Mochrane Afirma. Our Ag Affairs Committee are always on top of the latest farming issues and want to hear what you have to say. But we're all about having the crack too, which is why we have plenty of events and competitions happening all the time. So what are you waiting for? Sign up to Mochrane today and make sure to add the promo code PODCAST so you will be entered into a draw to win two tickets to a concert of your choice in the Three Arena. Sign up via our website, mochrane.ie.
Hey folks, this is Peter McCann, a Northern correspondent with the Farmers Journal. This is the Young Stock Podcast and we're at Balmoral Show today. I'm with Zach Elkin from Craiganknet in North County Down. So Zach, just tell me a bit about yourself, where you're at in life and where you're at with your farming career at the minute.
Yeah, so I've just finished studying agricultural technology at Queen's and Greenmount in Belfast, and hoping to do a bit of travelling now and get a bit of international experience, but specific interest would probably be dairying.
Right, and so were you dairy farming at home, or are you from a farming background? Or
yeah, so we have a small beef and sheep farm, about 40 acres, in Cree Antlet there, but it'll be more of a part-time operation.
Right, so that's why dairying? Like, you seen that more as an opportunity for a full-time career in farming?
Yeah, I think I've always had a bit of my interest always was practical farming. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why I did my degree, but sort of did my degree to be safe and have the options, yeah, or keep my options open. But I can see opportunities in the dairy industry in the future.
On the degree, like, explain that. I mean, like, where did you all study that, or did you do any placements, or what do you think of college? You know, what was your college experience like?
Yeah, so for the start of the course, we were at Greenmount in Antrim, and that was a lot more practical. First year anyway, you know, it was a lot more, we were doing a lot of practical work, and then your final year of your course, you go to Queen's in Belfast, a lot more theory based and sort of get a lot of more exposure to research elements and that, yeah, side of things.
And then the COVID disrupted much, you know, over your college. I suppose you probably had a slightly different experience in that course than maybe other people in previous years.
So had to get quite well in the way of team and Zoom. But any opportunities we got, we were able to sort of get out in person. First year wasn't affected for me anyway. Uh-huh. But it was, it was quite a change. But once we got in the way of it, and then it was great. That final year, things have opened up, and got to get into Belfast and sort of experience in person lectures a bit more.
Yeah, and what's your thoughts on, you know, through your couple of years of studying there, and you're obviously here today, like you see right bit of what's going on in industry. What's your thoughts on Northern Ireland dairying? Like, is it something that you see a future in for yourself, or you say there you're going international? Is that something you want to do, do long term, or is that just for a year or two whenever you're kind of in your 20s, you know?
Yeah, well, it's definitely just to purely get the experience definitely plays a big part in it, but I think there is definitely opportunities internationally and all over Ireland as well, I suppose. But specifically in the north, I can see opportunities. I've had experience of sort of operations where there would be a opportunity for someone like myself, but it's fair to say there'd be few and far between.
Yeah.
So it would be great to see a bit of a change in the industry up here, in the dairy industry, towards sort of supporting those.
Yeah. So whenever you come out of college, the standard thing, you know, would be for yourself, farm part-time in the evenings and weekends, and get a cushy job in the department, yeah, or in a meal company or something. You didn't fancy that, like, or you wanted to be working outside the whole time?
Yeah,
or?
Well, I think if you ask my parents, I think they'd prefer I was part-time at home. and had a quite secure job in the industry. But like, I think it's an option that I think is will always be there. So I sort of want to chase this opportunity of sort of more practical farming and see how I can sort of progress within. Yeah. The dairy industry and opportunities for cow ownership and that type of thing.
Yeah. So what is next for you then? Where are you heading after you just finished up there? Where are you heading now? Like, what's the first step?
So right now, heading down to Cork, or Charleville in Cork, to work on a farm down there. It's a leased farm where there'll be a farm manager and sort of the type of opportunity that I would like to sort of get more experience in. But then after that, I hope they get out to New Zealand for start a calving and experience at least a calving season and breeding season in New Zealand,
right?
And sort of assess from there.
Aye. So like in probably Cork and New Zealand models where you'll be farming the next few months are probably very different to maybe what you're used to in Northern Ireland. Like we're talking more grass based or what sort of experience were you working there in the north? I know there's some more low input grass based systems maybe where you're at in the eastern parts of Northern Ireland there.
Yeah, no, well, it'd be fair to say I've had plenty of experience in high input systems, or traditionally that's probably where I started out at, and just over the years I had the opportunity to sort of get more experience in a sort of more spring calving low input model of dairying, and it sort of definitely appealed to me, the system and how it all works. I like the idea of the grass-based system. I think it sort of sells a good picture for the island of Ireland, and I think we can grow a lot of grass, so it's good to make the most of it during the summer months.
Uh-huh. And like you see, there's more scope for that. The type of thing you're talking about there, about partnerships or leasing or buying cows, there's a lot more scope for that in the south, is there? Like, you know, there isn't too many people maybe in the north at that stage yet, or maybe our model of dairying up here, more higher inputs and I suppose more overheads involved, and dairying just doesn't maybe lend itself as well to that, does it?
That'll definitely play a big part in it. But I think definitely traditionally up here, like that's very much what we're used to. But undoubtedly it's it plays a factor whenever you're going into sort of that sort of operation. Like it's more a low input model, it'll be a bit more appealing to somebody like myself that you're slightly reducing your costs.
So when you head to New Zealand, have you a farm lined up, or do you know where you're going?
I'm hoping to go to Methven in Canterbury.
Okay.
To work on a farm right there.
And what's the number of cows is in that farm, or what sort of system is it?
I think 600.
600 cows. Okay. Is that irrigated out there in that part of New Zealand?
I think there is a bit of irrigation anyway.
When you're out there, like the plan is calving, breeding at least, so that's... Am I right in saying that's kind of August time that kicks off?
So hopefully calving will kick off sort of end of July, August.
Right.
And get out there for calving season, breeding season, and hopefully get a bit of time to turn New Zealand and do a bit of sightseeing.
See what's happening there. Oh, fair play. So at this stage, you aren't just sure, like, you know, you hear all these stories, you've talked to people, maybe especially whenever you go out and you meet some Irish people, they'll tell you, oh, I went out there for a calving season and a breeding season, and that was 10 years ago, and I haven't come back. You know, you're kind of open to that too, are you?
I definitely wouldn't limit myself that way. I think it'd be nice to have the sort of option of staying if the opportunity presented itself. And I think there is a good sort of Irish community out there. Like, I'm saying that, like, I have in my local football club, I have a football team already
lined up to go to
Christchurch.
Fair play. There's a pub called The Bog in Christchurch. I'm sure you'll find it quite quickly. I remember being in it as well. So just in general, exactly, what we've went through a relatively turbulent time, I suppose, in Northern Ireland here, just politically, or it seems to always be the case here almost, but with the whole climate change thing, and I suppose even before that, Brexit, you know, it's just seemed we're facing crisis after crisis at a stage there, and even rules around ammonia as well. It's very prominent for a stage. It's probably coming back quite soon, by all reports. Like, at any point there, when you were in college or whatever, were you apprehensive about going into agriculture, or like, do you see it as a good, you see a future in it? And I suppose the best way to answer that question, if someone was 17 or 18 come up to you now, was leaving school and saying, should I go into farming, like, would you advise it, or do you see it a future for yourself and for all the people coming behind you in it, you know?
Definitely over recent months it's something I've thought a lot about. There is a lot of challenges for the industry, and I think I think sort of this my generation anyway, like there's a big part to play, and even from within college, like I know for myself about half the modules we covered in final year are quite heavily in environmental aspects.
Yeah.
So undoubtedly it's a part that's going to have to be played by agriculture, and I think we don't really have a choice. But agriculture, it's one of those industries like you're doing it for the love of it. So I think things like that you sort of blind yourself to. You sort of need to stay positive on it. There's no point looking negatively at it.
Farmers are eternal optimists, as they say. Yeah, like, and yeah. You have to be that guy. Like, I bad signal. I just can't bring up the set list, so I've had to improvise with my own Northern Ireland edition of the quickfire round. So, just you can, each question, just first thing that comes into your head when I say so, football or hurling?
Football.
Holstein or crossbred?
Crossbred.
If you're at the garage and you had a bit of a hangover, would it be a chicken roll or a breakfast roll?
Chicken roll.
Bob Marley show or the Winter Fair?
Bob Marley for the beer tent.
And this is a controversial one at the end. Do you call it a grape, a sprong, or a fork?
Grape.
That's all correct answers from what I can see there. Listen, Zach, thanks very much for chatting to us. And honestly, I wish you all the best in Cork, and particularly safe travels and all the happy dairy in New Zealand.
That was great to hear from Peter and Zach, and we hope Zach gets on well in New Zealand and travels safely. It's great to hear such enthusiasm for the sector there. Okay, next up, news journalist Rachel Donovan wants to find out your opinions on some hot topics. Rachel is here. Hiya, Rachel.
Hey,
okay, so ACRES, the new environmental scheme, it was launched this week, has a budget of €1.5 billion. Can you tell us a bit more about it, Rachel? And I know you want to get people's opinions on it.
Yeah, Siobhan, that's right. The government has launched its flagship agri-environment scheme for the next CAP. It's a new GLOSS, or the new REPSA, as it's previously been cited. In a nutshell, I suppose, Siobhan, this scheme has two entry routes, the general approach and the cooperative approach. And I suppose the biggest question everyone will have is how much money I can get from the scheme. And I suppose to answer that question, the maximum payment for the general approach is €7,000 and the maximum payment for cooperative approach is €10,000. There's a total budget for 50,000 farmers. However, there are over 120,000 farmers in receipt of a basic payment every year in Ireland. The department has yet to confirm how they will deal with the oversubscription or annual oversubscription to the scheme. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. While we're on the note, Siobhan, I just want to give a shout out to the listeners to get their views on what's happening at the moment. We want to hear your views on the new ACRES scheme. Will you be applying? We also want to hear your views on the organic farming scheme. With an increased payment of €250 a hectare, are you considering the switch? Finally, we want to hear from you and the issues you face as a young farmer. What are your concerns and where do you think there are opportunities? You can send us your views through a voice note to the Irish Farmers Journal WhatsApp on 086-836-6465 or email them to youngstock@farmersjournal.ie. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thanks very much, Rachel. That's great. You know, as people find out more about the scheme, if they're going to enter it or not, or what their opinions are on it. So looking forward to next week. You probably have a match or training or something at the weekend now.
Yeah, Siobhan, that's right. I'm playing a bit of camogie. Championship doesn't start now till the end of August, but I suppose it doesn't be long coming around.
Okay, well, best of luck with that, Rachel. Thanks very much. Okay, so Noel is here now with his sustainability fact of the week.
Thanks, Siobhan. The sustainability fact this week is that Ireland's pesticide usage was down 24% in 2020 when compared with the farm-to-fork baseline figures. This does represent some significant progress towards the 50% EU-wide reduction target laid out in the farm-to-fork strategy. This week as well, we have seen the Commission come out with and publish its proposal to tighten the enforcement of this target across EU member states that haven't made as much progress as Ireland in this regard. However, it's not all good news for Ireland on the pesticide front, and there are still some worrying figures behind our 2020 pesticide usage. In 2020, for example, MCPA, the spray that's commonly used to control rushes, was responsible for 46 out of our 91 detected pesticide breaches in water. So with all that said, I'll pass it back to you, Siobhan.
Thanks very much, Noel. It's so important that we get the facts out about agriculture and show the good work being done for the environment. Well, that is it for the first week of the Young Stock podcast. We'll be back next Monday when I'll be catching up with Mocker President John Keane. Martin's Markets will be back next week and Noel and Rachel will return with opinions and facts. Thanks to Mocker for their support and, of course, thanks to you for listening. We hope you can join us again next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.